This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But not without controversy, it appears. Our Sports on the Score is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. This man is on Twitter. I never thought I'd say these words. At Real Terry Bores. Terry Bores is a penis in retirement at this point, is, I believe, his official title. But
I have a business card.
Did you sense any skullduggery afoot when Restoring Hope went wide and then veered in?
Yeah, this is interesting because my first reaction when that race was started, like, what is he doing out there doing that Eddie Cantor thing? That's what we used to call in the old days, the Eddie Cantor, where you're not really going anywhere. You're just sort of sitting because, you know, as a guy, you got to make up your mind, dude. You're not going to sit out there like in fourth place and look like you're blocking everybody. I mean, that's my first thought about it. When you know, just if I go sleep, gets a good start again, as he always seems to. And I thought, I was waiting for Noble Indy. Because other ones say, well, we're going to go to the lead with Noble Indy. I'm thinking, yeah, good luck with that dude. But here he comes, and he sits, and he sits, and he sits, and he sits, and he doesn't go anywhere. I don't think it had any influence on the race, but it certainly left a lot of people talking, didn't it? Because the inside horses, if you notice, were the ones that they all had a shot. The good horses that were bet a little bit were right behind him. Hmm. They were all right there, and they had no excuse. He didn't block them in the lane. They weren't in his way. They just weren't as good. And what I really want to know is anybody that's hosed down Gronk yet. Good God.
So
he was running.
For you, it wasn't so much that the five horse got out way wide and then came back in that first turn. It was where he sat the rest of the race?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's blocking. I mean, that if you do that in, I've seen guys try it before, and I think that as time has gone on, you kind of get used to it. But it has to do with how you enter. If it's the same owner, you should have them under one banner and so forth. They don't do that, so it doesn't look like it. So maybe people who aren't savvy to the sport don't catch on to it that, hey, wait a minute, that's his guy out there doing that. But in it makes more difference to me in harness racing than it does in thoroughbred. I mean, there was a lane there. There was a lane for the good horses to get there if they were going to get there. The one thing that Justify did not want to do again was getting a speed duel because it damn near killed him at the Preakness. And, I mean, everybody had him. Oh, my God, look at him. He almost got caught. Do you realize how difficult it is to run side by side with a horse for half a mile for a young horse? I mean, that's like unheard of. You don't do that. You don't see guys race like that. So the fact that he almost got caught at the wire was hardly a shock. I mean, I've seen a million horses do that and fade. And just quit. So he didn't quit. And then everybody goes up to him and says, well, you know, I'm not sure, but he still goes off 3-5. So he didn't really need the help. And I don't know if Bob Baffert said to him, hey, you know, how about a little help on the outside? Because none of the outside horses were really a threat. There's nothing out there that just said, uh-oh, man, if he gets a trip, he's got him. I mean, the good horses were all basically inside. They were all sitting in the first five or six positions. So they all had a spot to rest. And he went a quick first quarter, if you notice. It was a fast first quarter. And then after that, he slowed down the paces, which he should have done because he wasn't being challenged. So, I mean, he just sat on the horse and rested and took his time. But, yeah, I think that my first reaction was, uh-oh. What's he doing? Because you don't see anybody race a horse like that. Well, I mean, just... either you do or you don't. You're going to the lead or you're not going to the lead because you're not going to get a position on the rail. There's going to make room for you. It's not a harness race where they kind of hold the horse and, okay, you go ahead and I'll get you later. Go ahead in there. They don't do that in thoroughbred. So I mean, I didn't see the jockeys. I saw one jockey or two of them question it, but some of them said, Dwayne Lucas said, well, we wouldn't have beat him anyway. You're right, because your horse had a perfect trip and he wasn't any good.
But what's the line between illegality and simply unethical? You know, because you compare it to restrictor plate racing in NASCAR, and you have an actual NASCAR team where you're pushing, you're drafting, you're blocking, you're doing some of these things. Is it completely verboten, and is that why the entry system is there, where both horses are then yeah. linked paramutually?
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, and it should be. They should do more to make sure they are. And sometimes in thoroughbreds, they don't. But even the same trainer should be linked. But I think there's a fine line there. But I thought, at least for the first quarter mile, he crossed it, that he was. I mean, I can't get inside his head. I can't tell you what I think he was thinking about. But he knows that speed on the rail. Justify is going to get a good start. He always does. He sits there like he's dead when they put him in that gate. You know, so how antsy some of those horses are. They get so crazy when they get closed in. He never moves. He never moves. I mean, Mike Smith said, I didn't even know if he was going to start. I mean, he sat there. He gets the one, so you got to load all the other horses. And he's out. I didn't even know he was going to go. I thought he was sleeping. So, I mean, that's how calm he is and how good he is, how smart he is. But, yeah, you don't run that path he ran. I mean, no matter what you're doing, you don't even want it to look that way. You know what I mean? You don't want to give that impression. And it took a while for it to sink in because nobody said much about it post-race, if you notice.
Right.
Took a day is where everybody's thinking and said, well, wait a minute here. What were you doing with that? What exactly were you doing in the jockey? I don't see him quote it, but it's like, oh, I don't know. Was that a plan? No, that's not a plan. I mean, you either do or you don't in thoroughbred racing. I mean, there's not going to be a spot for you. If you're going to do that, if you're going to dare to lead from the outside against Justify, then race him. Then race him. I mean, but you didn't want to. There was also talk that they didn't race some other horses there because they would be the same thing to justify what Good Magic did to them in the Preakness, where you run side by side for half a mile. So, I mean, there was a lot of talk about that. But I think the bottom line, Dwayne Lucas, even though I don't like him, he hated me. I don't think it had anything to do with the outcome. I mean, you didn't. He got away with a pace he wanted to get away with. He had a quicker liquid, like I said, and then just sort of breezed. It's like a workout for him. And he was ready to run the next day, according to Baffert. He could have went out and raced again. And I think he's probably right. That's what the horse looks like.
So two questions then. Where does Justify's Triple Crown rank for you, and why does Lucas hate you?
Oh, I can start with him because he had a clip file. He used to keep a clip file on people from around the country when he was a big shot, when I was covering him in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And he was sort of the man, and he had people give him stuff. And I wrote a column about his horse that was a Derby favorite. I said he was a piece of crap. and when I went out there the next morning, I mean, apparently, not only did they keep the clip file, but they sent it to him. They made sure he saw it. This is in the days before the internet, where you could just like flip a switch and get it to him. Because when I walked there, I saw him about 6:15 in the morning, and he looks at me and said, "What do you want?" And I said, "Well," I said, "just stopping by." And everybody hated him, by the way, in the back. Charlie Whittingham hated him. Everybody hated him. So I thought, well, I'm in good company then. Because I love Charlie, and that's okay if he doesn't like me. But he just saw, I thought, the horse's name was Houston. And I thought the horse was a piece of crap. So that's what I wrote. He's bad. And yet he's not going to win this race. He's going to be the, and he's not going to win. And he didn't. He was bad. So, I mean, but he took offense at it. He took offense at everything. Everything you wrote about him. If you didn't say he was the greatest man who ever lived, you were on his bad side.
So regardless of whether or not Restoring Hope helped Justify win the final leg of the Triple Crown, I think the other question remains, where does this rank? How great a horse is Justify?
Well, I think the call was right. I think he's an immortal. I mean, when you've done it 13 times and that long a time, that makes you pretty much immortal. I mean, the biggest problem with racing, and look, nobody's going to turn down $75 million to send him a stud. No, I wouldn't turn down 75 cents. So, I mean, they're not going to turn that down. And one of the biggest problems racing has is that they disappear. You get a horse you love, he's absolutely magnificent, and then you never see him again after he's a three-year-old because the money is so great, and now the money's completely out of control. Like American Pharoah's deal was $20 million. This is the $15 million plus the $60 million offer, so it's $75 million stud fees. I mean, and I don't know what that'll be a piece, but that's if you'll pardon the expression. But it's incredible the amount of money. So
where's it coming from, though? Why is the money? Why is the money so good if the sport's dying?
I agree with you. I can't figure it out myself. I mean, the purses continue to go up. I mean, there's a $10 million race in Dubai every year. I mean, the purses continue to go up. The Breeders' Crown purse, the Breeders' Cup, rather, is, I think, $6 million, $7 million, maybe it was $10 million this year, close to it. I mean, the purses have gone up to keep it. But the problem is that nobody that's under 40 is really interested in it for maybe 3 days a year. Maybe at the you get the young crowd at the Kentucky Derby a little bit, you get them at the Preakness, and you get them at the Belmont. But millennials are not interested. I mean, it's just been proven time and time and time again that they're not interested. So you have no young fan base. When you look at a racetrack winner circle, what do you see in there?
Old white people.
Yes. Yes. And that's what you're going to continue to see is old white people. And you look around the rail and you look at the crowd, old white people like me. Bad old betting white people. So, I mean, it's a problem for racing. But, I mean, nobody's going to say, okay, forget that $75 million. Let's go and race them as a four-year-old and get some people to come out and get some interest going in the sport. I mean, some of these other horses will probably continue to race because nobody is going to pay them $75 million not to. But I think it's a problem long-term for the sport, and a sport that's struggling to find a niche, to find some place and a new audience. You know, you think every year, well, we'll bring a new – you don't bring a new audience in, though, when you look at it. You bring them in for one day, and then they probably never look at another form in their life. And, I mean, that's the deal. And nobody has broken that code yet to figure out how to attract young people. Nobody has.
This familiar voice belongs to Terry Boers, who we are having on as a horse racing expert because of the Triple Crown and the Belmont. But really, professionally, he is a watcher of youth baseball and basketball at this point. I know it was a rainy weekend. Did any games get in for you?
No, nothing. We got nothing. No softball, no baseball, nothing. I watched some basketball the other night. I went to Ty's game. He's going to be a sophomore. He's still for a soft team, I think, but went and saw that game. So they play summer league where the clock keeps running and all that stuff. And not even the league. They just sort of get together and throw guys out there from Providence or wherever in Plainfield North. And here they come and you don't even know what the hell's going on. Substitute five at a time. So you really don't get much of a feel for the game. But no, the baseball, softball all gets rained out. All nothing. I had a weekend of, that's why I got back early enough to watch the entire dumbass Belmont show. I mean, this is how bad it was. There was nothing, you know, there was nothing going on. So I thought, well, do I want to, I got back about 3 o'clock. So I missed the first hour of it, but that was fine. Well, enough is enough after the Derby, which goes on, I believe, from 8 a.m. till midnight. So I get enough of it, but once in a while you learn something, not very often, but once in a while.
So what else is keeping your time these days? What is keeping you Terry Boers busy? Because you sound great. You really do. You sound energetic. I can't look at you. You might look like crap. I don't know.
But I do.
You sound good.
I just got out of my workout, so I'm trying to get my back back in shape and literally get my back back. And it's a very slow process, so I'm trying. And I didn't hurt it. No, people wonder, they know me, who do follow me on Twitter. No, I didn't hurt it playing softball. It's just something that's been bothering me forever.
I was going to ask if you were
still playing,
because there's a league around here. I know you were playing in Florida. I just wonder right now that when you get when you get back to it, there's somebody's going to need a little softball help.
Oh, God almighty. Yeah. I think the 3 months, we play we play six games a week. So I think that's enough. We play two times a day.
Yikes!
We play two games a day, and then on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. So I get enough.
I got a friend who he was in a car accident and had to deal with a lot of. Like, is it just it takes so long to get yourself up to play? You might as well just play two. That's where he's at. He's gonna stretch out the back and everything. So we might as well, if you're gonna spend 2 hours getting yourself ready, just go play two.
That's about right. Yeah, I mean, you come out there early in the morning and you start and you warm up and you get everything going and you have your teams ready and then you go and you sometimes if it's a bad game they'll stop at five and start a new one. Sometimes there's a route going on. So you say, well, that's enough of that. The old man, you know, are sleeping, so we got to start over again. But I would like to say the glorious thing to say, well, I hurt myself. I this has been bothering me forever, so. I will go back to it though. I eventually will get my workout back into going back into softball shape, which really is nothing because you can't train your reflexes per se.
No.
I mean, I don't know when somebody hits a fly ball at me while I'm standing in one place and I put my hand up and it goes over my head. I haven't quite figured that one out yet. I don't have to move. I got it. No, you don't have it. So that keeps me, you know, it keeps me motivated to come to the gym and try to stay in shape. And the running is almost out of the question. I was never very fast. Running was never a forte. So that's okay. I mean, I got beat in a race with by a guy with a prosthetic leg. And it wasn't the Blade Runner. I mean, it wasn't that guy. It's the guy from Milwaukee.
It sounds killed me. Like you're going to like the Daniel Palka fielding camp.
It's standing
exactly
right.
That's exactly that, right.
That's,
I wish.
When I have watched him, that's what it sounds like. Why am I over here? The ball's over here.
Man shaped like
I know,
brick.
Yep. I know. If it's hit right at me, I've got a chance. if it's hit right at me. You know, and you go, okay, my feet aren't going to move. My brain isn't telling me where to go. So how about if I just stay right here? Because the last play I made before before I came home was a sinking line drive I actually caught because it was in front of me. You know, I could see it. It was coming right at me. And it was awkward, but I caught it. It's just after 40 years of not doing, you have no reflexes. You have no reaction. I have no arm. You know, I go to throw the ball. Everything feels fine. Everything looks good. I can't throw the ball 25 feet.
Well, just play closer then. Then come in closer.
You know, it shows you how old I am that I had never played a game with aluminum bats.
You're kidding.
No. No, I stopped playing in 1976 when I went to the Free Press. Or 78, rather. I'm sorry. When I went to the Free Press and I stopped playing. I played one game up there and that was it.
So
1978 to 2018, nothing.
Do you guys play with the you know, the juiced up aluminum bats? I play in a league that's got some older guys in it up north on Sundays, and the bats they have are, I mean, they'd kill you if you put them in the hands of a 20-year-old.
That's what I try to tell people, and they look at me like I'm from Mars. I'm going, no, I'm serious. I mean, I've seen a line drive come at me before. I've never seen it rising. I've never seen it dip or the stuff it'll do off an aluminum bat. Uh-huh. Some of them do have those kind of bats, by the way. Mm-hmm. Not all, but some of them do. And they all have aluminum bats, and some of them are the supercharged ones that you go, I mean, the guy may be 70, but he hits that he's played his entire life because these are all tournament players. They're all from around. They play. There's like 7 or 8 different places they go and play. And older, you know, there's a couple of young guys, and it was one of the younger guys that hit the ball off my head. So that's, you know, I'd never in my life ever got hit in the head with a ball in the field. And then I learned later on, you know what they do when they see the ball coming out? They fall.
Probably a decent idea.
I think that's self-preservation. I think that gets
you out of
the way.
Well, I told my neighbor. I said, well, thanks for telling me.
there are texters here inviting you to play. 815, and Terry wants to play in a rec league tonight in Joliet. We have a spot for him. Now, the offers are coming in.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Right. Oh, great to hear from you. You sound great. We appreciate the horse racing expertise and always good to catch
up. All right, my friend. I will see you guys in about a month or so.
Very good.
Sounds good.
That is Terry Bores on Twitter at RealTerryBores.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.